I want to talk the rapture and the catching out. And, you know, we've talked about salvation, we've talked about righteousness, we've talked about all those issues. I'm going to put our chart up here, and this is Matthew through John. And the saving of the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 9. The catching out, which, by the word rapture is not a biblical term, but it is fine to use. Everybody understands it. You got the second coming of the Lord and the thousand year millennial reign and the kingdom promise. Middle, the Antichrist goes into the temple and claims himself to be God. This is the Acts of the Apostle. That's why it's called Acts. And then Paul wrote Romans through Philemon. And the rest of the Bible is Hebrews through Revelation in this. Who are the Hebrews?
Israel.
It's the Jews. And the thing I want you to think about in that is a little bit what I was talking on Sunday. How many were here Sunday? You all understand that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, none of those folks are going to heaven. Not one of them. They were never going to go to heaven. They never anticipated going to heaven. They are anticipating that kingdom right there. That's what they're anticipating. That's what they're holding out. The land grant to Abraham, the throne grant to David, all the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants were for that kingdom over there. You got it? And so go to Acts chapter 1. I want you to see the last thing that Jesus talks about isn't our hope. And there's a couple things I want you to understand very, very clearly. Now, I don't know how long I'll go tonight. I'm going to go until I'm done with my message. But, so it may be a short night. I don't know. We'll just see how it all works out. If you on the internet want to text me, you can text me at 334-669-0920 in Carlton. If you could put that on the... on there, or Wayne, or anybody who's watching. I don't know if we have anybody watching. I didn't really advertise it big. We got a few? Oh, well, welcome via the internet. We appreciate you watching. This is an international event, boys and girls. It's the International Grace Church of Auburn. In Acts chapter 1, the scene is the ascension on high. The ones that are the players are the 12 apostles and basically the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see their hope and their concern. Israel's hope and concern is not a rapture, not a catching up, not going to heaven. Their concern is a kingdom. And that's what they're... So the last question you get to ask the Lord is pretty important. I mean, this is it. He's going to leave. So this is what you ask him. Verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to who?
Israel.
Israel. They're worried about that kingdom. Their hope is that kingdom. When Paul says... in Ephesians, look in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at Paul and Ephesians chapter 2. Appreciate you joining us. I'm glad to see everybody. I've missed you guys tremendously, especially, well, in Sue and Norma, we missed you too. But the girls have been in Minnesota. It was like an empty spot in my soul. It was terrible. I'm glad you're quick texting. What are you doing?
I'm inviting somebody else to talk to me.
That is not a good excuse. Tell them they should have already been on.
Well, I just thought of it. She really needs to get on.
Okay, well, praise the Lord. That's it. Just keep witnessing as we go. That's the new text thing. You know, I got to tell you, this whole family was so religious looking, and they're all facing down at the table. And I said, they're not looking up. They must be really praying. And then I looked a little closer, and they were all texting. They weren't praying at all.
Yeah, right.
Ephesians chapter 2. And watch this. I want to break into the context, but I don't want to ruin the context. I guess verse 17 probably is it. I'm sorry. That's why I was having problems. It's Ephesians 1. I'm sorry, 17. I'm like, that's not right. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. That hope of His calling for the church is different than the hope for Israel, which is this kingdom. The hope of the calling is that date right there. The catching out. And he's telling us that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is your hope here. Not that you be kind of wishy-washy, not sure, kind of wondering about it. And what is the riches of His glory and His inheritance to the saints. So he wants, Paul, this is a prayer of Paul's, and you know that by verse 16, cease not giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the, see, he's praying this, that you would have this information. If Paul walked in, he'd still be praying that you'd have this information. Do you all understand? And so he's laying out the hope for the church. And what is fascinating to the hope of the church is Paul wrote half the New Testament, 13 books. There's 26 books total New Testament, half written by Paul. You know what? In 13 books, he doesn't prepare you to go through the tribulation not one time. That's weird. If it's all one gospel, then he would be preparing us to go through that tribulation. 13 books doesn't do that. Doesn't prepare them. Doesn't get them excited about it. In fact, look what he says. Go to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, look if you will, in verse 9. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9, read with me if you will. The Bible says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, you ought to underline that, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Look, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 13 books he writes, he doesn't prepare you one time to go through the tribulation period. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look again, down in the passage, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. Now these brought to you by Miss Brenda. She tries to keep me repeating the verses so you get there. And you know, and again, I want you to think about rightly dividing the Word of Truth. If all of it is the same stuff, why doesn't the Apostle to the Gentile tell us anything about how to get through that tribulation period at all? You see, I mean, that's a problem. And when he talks about the one hope of your calling, he's not talking about the Bible's one hope. There's multiple hopes in that Bible. But he's talking about the one hope for the church. And that's uniquely different. Look, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the what?
Wrath
to come. We don't have to go through it. Why do we not have to go through it? Well, I'm going to get to that in just a minute, why we don't have to go through it. But go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and read with me in verse 9. Now, these all point that we're not appointed under wrath. We're not going into that wrath. Not only... What? That's good. Yeah. No, that's good. I want to know now. There is a lot, even in the grace movement, people mixed up where the rapture is going to happen. I do not believe the church has anything connected with Israel at this point. Period. You got it? So there's no reason to go through the first 3.5 years and all that, you know. The 70th weeks of Daniel ends basically here, starts back there. And it counts out pretty accurately. So what about this time in here? Well, according to the Bible, Jesus Christ was a prophet, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Yes, he was. He prophesied of a mystery of this period of time that they didn't really know about. In Matthew 13, that's what it's all about. That's thus the parables. In 1 Thessalonians 5, look at what... And this is the whole point. Verse 9. For everybody read with me. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Why hadn't God appointed us unto wrath? Because He made His Son to be sin for us. So all the wrath fell on the Lord for us. And we now have the what? We have the atonement. But Israel's got to get to that mountain before they get it. You got it? Zechariah 13, verse 1. You've got to write these things down. You won't remember them. So this church is going to leave planet Earth. It is the only group of people in the entire Bible. Are you listening to me? The entire Bible that goes to heaven. If you verify out Romans through Philemon, do you realize no one is leaving planet Earth? Hello? I'm just amazed at people. They go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What's their favorite verse? John 14.
Oh, yeah.
You know, saying we're going to heaven. What's another one? Matthew 24. Mm. Two are in the field, the one shall be
taken
in heaven, right? And that's how they preach that. And so they try to mix the two together. But you got to remember that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they never thought they were going through to go to heaven. Ever. If you read the Old Testament, you know what you're going to find? You ought to look up the word land. 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 When we come into the land, when God gives us the land, you know. And the proof text to me is really easy. Look, if you will, in John. Go to John. Can I get a glass of ice water, somebody? I used to drink that milk and that can't tell me. Got to get that in my head. I say my teeth are sticking to it, but they are. Where was I going to turn you?
John. John 4?
Hang on.
Land.
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 John
9.
John
10. Yeah. Sorry about that. the sound is bad, they say. I don't know. That's what they said. Can you hear us now, Wayne? All right, you play with that. We're going to get the sound the best we can. Put your ear on your laptop and act like you're praying. I don't know what to tell them. Say hello to everybody. Come over here. Yeah. Say hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh my gosh.
That wasn't embarrassing. I was showing off our goods. I mean, we may be able to catch her husband eventually. I mean, she's kind of ugly, but I mean, I think if we work at it, we'll get it.
Oh my God.
Oh, I say that about my daughter, and she's beautiful too. Quit it. If she was really ugly, you couldn't say that, guys. Don't you get it? You guys are crazy. Yes, it's better. No, I love Margie. No, I think she's beautiful. But that's what I'm saying. My children, I tell them they're all ugly, and everybody goes, ah. I'm like, no. I couldn't say that if they were really ugly.
Yeah, but I say it.
That was my word.
Yes. His eyesight must be bad.
All right, sound is good here. Praise the Lord. All right, go to John 10. It may be John 11. Let me. I can't. I need life. I don't know if my eyes have gone bad since they've sawn all my teeth.
Are you missing your eye teeth? Use it as life, hope, life, hope.
It's John 11 that I want. And. What?
Can I move that light over here?
Yeah, could you do that? And then Beverly will be in the dark. That's really nice.
Go ahead and just plug it on the other side now.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Of course
is it just darker in here or is it me?
You could open the blinds.
I said it's too much other ambient light.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like dark. I can't read my words.
It's getting darker.
Oh, that's probably what it is. It's getting darker sooner. Ooh, hey!
Is that gonna?
Can I see him yet on video?
Yes. I was guessing at all the words. How did I do? Most of that was from memorization.
That was bad on video.
What?
Lamp back.
Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Turn to John chapter 11. I'm just going to kind of cut in the context. Lazarus has died. And he shows up. And verse 17. Then Jesus came and he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. And on and on. I mean, this guy is definitely dead. He's been embalmed. Verse 13. And Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now they're talking about resurrection from the grave and on and on. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. For he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And on and on. Well, he calls forth Lazarus. And verse 43. I'm just cutting down the context. Y'all read the context. I want you to read it. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when he came forth from the dead, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, with his face was bound, he looked like a mummy. About with a napkin, Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. You know what I noticed about that whole resurrection? He did not go, I mean, you're being resurrected from the dead. Wouldn't that be a rip if you thought you were going to be in heaven and you showed up and everybody you knew was still around? Think about that. He did not freak out. You know why? He thought he was being resurrected just like in normal time. He never even thought about going to heaven. He never freaked out. It would have been a freaker. And you know what wasn't waiting for him? Mansions, pearly gates, or streets of gold. It was the same old dirty roads of Damascus and all the places that were there. Now think about that for a minute. If you thought you were going to die and go to heaven immediately, he was in the grave for how many days?
4.
Was he in heaven then? No, he was in Abraham's bosom or whatever, in paradise. He gets back out and he's resurrected just like was promised, because that's the resurrection. That's an example of the resurrection. He didn't freak out that, hey, I'm not in heaven. That's weird, isn't it? He thought this is exactly the way it was supposed to be. Otherwise, he'd been doing something like this. Ah! Something close to that. He didn't, because he knew exactly where he was going to go. You got it? Into that kingdom. Fascinating to me, in John, this is John 11, John 14. In John 14, verse 1, the verse they use for heaven. Everybody who died and never wrote a book on heaven used John 14. Every one of them. You know the problem is? This is in heaven. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Guess what he's going to do with that place? He's going to bring it down and he's going to set it up.
Amen.
Right here. You know what that is? That's that new city. Go to Hebrews for a minute. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. See, I want you to see that your hope is different than their hope. Your hope, and then if there are two hopes, what does that tell me? There's two messages, guys. Otherwise, if it was the same exact message in Romans to Philemon as it was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the hopes would be identical. You all understand what I'm saying? There's no possibility that there's only one message in this Bible.
Amen.
Period. No way. In Hebrews chapter 11. Look, if you will, in verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go on to the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And he looked for a what? I would match that to John 14. You understand? That's the city. That's John 14. I would write in my Bible, John 14. You got it? And that city is mentioned in Revelation, which we're going to turn to in just a minute. He looked for a city which foundation, whose builder and maker is what?
God.
My Father's house. If there weren't many mansions, I would have told you so. It's God's house. It's the temple. And on and on. You got it? Go to Revelation. Go to Revelation 21. Verse 2. Revelation 21, verse 2. We don't use the whole Bible, so you may not want to turn to those pages. I get accused of that all the time. This should make sense to you, though. Revelation 21, verse 2. Sue and Norm, It is so glad to have you in the class. I miss the girls, but I did miss you guys too, a lot. I would have called you, but I didn't have any number or no way to contact you and said hello. Just to say hi. Anyway, Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city. I would put a reference to Hebrews and to John 14. When was the city promised? Back in Abraham's day. Why did he live in tents? He waited for the what? The city. It was, what I'm trying to show you is their hope was all the way back here. It was like they were anticipating it. They weren't looking for a rapture or to leave this planet. They are looking for this city. And it's the New Jerusalem. And he says, I don't saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Well, then they're not going to heaven, amen? Where's the city coming from?
Out of heaven.
It's coming from heaven down to the earth. They're not going into heaven. They're going into a temple that's coming to the... And guess what splits the mountain east to the west? You got the city. It's going to be the new city. It's probably shaped like that. The mountain's going to hold it.
Is that right?
And there's going to be a fountain flowing out of it. And on either side of the crystal water coming out of it are trees. And those trees are the trees of life. And they matter 12 manner of fruit. And on and on. And that is going to be where Israel will worship. It has... It looks like a diamond. And there are three gates on either end. And they're pearls. And you go into that city and there's mansions and golden streets. What John was talking about. Come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, which will be for Israel. The wedding feast that they'd heard. Come on down. Verse 12. Now watch this. And had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the name written thereon were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of who?
Israel.
Not Gentiles, Israel. And on the east three gates, and on the north three gates, and on the south three gates, and on the 12, where do you think the 144 will be? That adds up, doesn't it? And the walls of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the... All Israel promised. What did they ask as the Lord disappeared out of the earth? Will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's their hope. It isn't your hope. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was preparing Israel to go through that. Churches that are listening to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John think they're going to heaven with that hope. Mm-hmm. You know what? Satan has got them blinded.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So the 12 apostles are going to be there, and on and on. And you know what the gates are made out of, right? Pearls, and you can read all about this. And streets of gold are here, and the measurements are all here. Look at verse 18. And he built the walls thereof was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Streets of gold. It is going to come here on the earth. They're not leaving the planet. They never were leaving the planet. So those in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's hope was not the rapture. That was a mystery. Okay? The promise to Israel, go to Ezekiel 37. Huh? Yeah, Paul's like, yeah, no, Paul's just the head of the body of Christ, but the Lord to be his headship too.
No kidding.
I think he'll be fine. Don't boo-hoo for Paul. Ezekiel 37. It's about the resurrection, guys, for Israel, their hope. Now, there is some similarities to our hope and to Israel's hope. What got Lazarus out of the grave?
Lazarus come forth.
It was voice activated, wasn't it? By the voice and the activation of God, he can raise people out of the dead. Mm-hmm. It's voice activation. You know what? If he doesn't call your name, you're trapped. You can't get out. The rapture, he gives a shout. Voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and what happens? The dead in Christ shall rise. Why? They've been voice activated to come out. Mm-hmm. By the only one that can. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Voice activation. That's what it requires. Well, look at this. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. You worry about cremation? A lot of people worry about cremation. It's okay. He can put it back together. Trust me. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Again, what is that?
Voice activation.
Thus the Lord God unto the bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews, which is strength and muscle and bones and muscle and skin and stuff, upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied there a noise, and behold, a shaking of the bones came together, bones to his bones. And when I beheld, lo, Sinu was clothed on. Anybody saw the movie Mummies? Mm-hmm. Where they started putting skin on? That's what's happening. They didn't get that from their... Hollywood stole it from the Word of God. You got it? It was already... You know that, don't you?
What?
Hollywood stole that.
I didn't see the movie.
You need to get corrupted with us a little bit better. I mean, wasn't a fantastic movie. For a B movie, it was pretty good, right? Huh? It's pretty cute. Anyway, that's what's happening. If you get a picture of the movie, you'll kind of understand this picture of Ezekiel 37. And you know who you're going to think of? Me. Anyway, they start walking around and on. Verse 21. Talking about the two sticks, the ten tribes and the two. And he puts them all together and makes them one stick. Verse 21. And they say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathens, whether they be gone, and will gather them together every side and bring them into their own what?
Land.
The resurrection was always land available. So if you don't rightly divide, let's say you don't buy into this rightly dividing stuff. You just say, oh, that is hooey. Then you're never going to get off the planet. That's weird. I hear all these people, Southern Gospel. Anybody listen to Southern Gospel? The Gaithers and stuff? There's so much hooey on the Gaithers, it's unbelievable.
Come on, man.
Oh, come on. I'll show you. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Well, what's the third line talk about? The streets of gold? It's all confused. See, they believe that these people in most churches, in denominational churches, believe they're going to heaven out of those books. That's a fact. I have read a book of a guy that spent 90 minutes in heaven, and his doctrine came out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
John Piper.
So what does that devil or what?
Well, the devil's using that, isn't he?
Oh yeah.
Because we know what their inheritance is. I showed you the very beginning. Well, will thou at this time
restore again the kingdom?
Land, all about land. I just read it again in Ezekiel 37 in Resurrection. It's the land. If it's the same hope, then you're never getting off the planet. But Paul brought in a mystery. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Oh, well, go to 1 Corinthians 15. Good place to start. See, people want to argue these points. Listen, it isn't even worth arguing over. In 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter is dealing with what? Huh?
Resurrection.
That's what the whole chapter is dealing with. You got it? But I'm going to skip down. To 15, we may come back up in the passage and eat some of the passages up. But... and I mean eat it in a good way. Make it part of us. But I want to start in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Where we're going is the kingdom of what? What were they putting on those guys back there in Ezekiel 37? That's weird, isn't it? That doesn't work. Muy poquito prometo, you know? A little problemo. Muy poquito problemo, you know? You can't be putting skin at the same time where we're going, skin can't go. Number one, you got it? Ain't nobody going with their skin. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, they do. Someone wrote that the Mormons claim that the 2:6 is the Bible and the Book of Mormon being bound, but it tells you what it is clearly in the passage in Ezekiel 37. The 10 tribes and the 2 tribes. I didn't read it, but you need to read it so you're not confused. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption, but I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now hold it. It never said anything about that. All these people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John must lose their life in order to gain it. Here, not all of us are going to have to die. Go to Matthew chapter 10. You might want to write that in there. Verse 38. Write it in there. You're not that good at memorizing. I mean, you're good, but you're not that good. And the girls are a little rusty.
Matthew 10:38 and 39.
See, guys, I want you to understand that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these people have to lose their life in order to be resurrected into life. So everybody back here is going to die. That's why he's talking about take up your cross and follow after me. Why? It's in resurrection of life that you have it. Oh, I'm not getting any enthusiasm tonight. This is bad.
That's good.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'm getting it. Uh-huh.
You getting it?
Yes.
Well, would you show a little enthusiasm?
Amen.
I'm just like...
Don't make me pass the plate to show your enthusiasm. Matthew chapter 10.
Amen.
I can talk, but I want to listen.
And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Why? They can't be born again. Guess what order this priesthood is going to be born into?
Melchizedek.
Did you all hear that? Melchizedek. Well, what is about Melchizedek that you know?
Forever.
He's a forever priest, right? Guess what they have to do in order to be a forever priest? Die, ready, and be born again from the dead. That's where the new birth is talking about in John 3. This stuff is so unbelievable. It's like
so many songs.
Somebody's boo-boo in here. Now watch. Verse 39. He that findeth his life, that is, you gain it in the tribulation, they don't kill you, they don't behead you, shall lose. Lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall what? So they have to lose it in order to gain it. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. That is not true of you in this room. You got it? Brent, doing okay, brother?
Yeah.
And tell me if I mess up.
I didn't turn back to the last.
Now, this guy's known Grace for a little while, you said, too.
Yeah. I don't want to speak for him.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, I mean, it's a great thing to grow up in grace. Amen. I mean, to know these truths from a child up, it's a wonderful truth. Anyway, this is probably old hat for you, Pastor. These are all new believers. They did. Trust me. And pulling off some of their hats were hard. Not all of them. Some were harder than others.
Whatever.
Man, you took that covering off so fast you'd made you spin.
I can't wait.
Now watch. Verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. I would have written that by Matthew chapter 10:39, Matthew 15:51. But if you didn't do that, you ought to go back and do that. Get it in your Bible, guys. You're going to be out there witnessing. You're going to need to have this information. Mm-hmm. I mean, I appreciate all the men and people that call me for verses. I do. I love that. And we have some of the greatest men in this class. I'm honored to even be near you. Honestly, and I don't mean that out of sarcasm. I mean that out of sincerity. You're out battling the battle. But the faster you get it down, the more it'll be your faith, not mine. I'm your training wheels, kind of, Neil.
Thank you.
We still scuff our knees occasionally, though. Amen? Even with training wheels. It's those curbs that grab us. You know, I mean, I had training wheels, and Dad goes, "You're doing great." And I jumped off the curb and went, psh. Doesn't help off a curb diving, you know. But eventually I learned to do it. Verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all..." That is, we're not going to all die and be resurrected. That wasn't true in the old. Everybody was going to die that was going to be in that priesthood. Of Exodus 19, 5 and 6. That thing had been promised to Israel since Exodus 19. So they are having to die. And that's what Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 is all about. We don't have to do that. Not only that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is a mystery. Not one time has God talked about anybody leaving planet Earth. Not one time until Paul. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A verse I hear at funerals all the time. I will use this funeral for my mother-in-law. It's a great comfort to us that are saved. There's a lot of people, and don't get mad at me. What is your name?
Dan.
Dan, don't get mad at me. There's a lot of grace believers that believe you die and go to heaven immediately. I don't believe that. So I'm just telling you that right up front. I can probably prove it to you tonight that that's probably the case. But when you die, you're asleep in the Lord. You ain't in pain and you're not uncomfortable. But when I read this, he's bringing down some bodies or houses that he's made without hands to fit over. If you want more information, write this down. Go to www.gracebiblelive.org and look in the archive, and there are 5 sermons on do we go to heaven when we die. That is 5 sermons on it. I'm not doing that tonight. But if you want to know about it, please go to that and study that. I had someone say, well, we go to heaven. Well, this is going to be difficult to fit in this, but I'm going to try my best. But you understand the hope is different. And that's what I want you to see tonight. Mm-hmm. That your hope is a catching out. It never says the word rapture. But the word, if you looked up catching up in the dictionary, it would say rapture. And if you looked up rapture, you know what it would say?
Catching up.
And so, whether you call it the catching up, I'm not one of those that, oh, okay, put up your dukes, put up your dukes. I mean, even ask Bob. I mean, he asked me some of these comments. It's not that big of an issue. Listen, so many people are so confused on the little things. To get in the detailed things, I study for the detailed things for myself. You think I get up and preach them? Not very often. Why? It doesn't matter. What matters are these things that you get in your mind, that you understand where your hope is, mm-hmm. and then you understand what is going on in that hope.
Amen.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
I tell my wife all the time, she'll hate this. She does, she hates it. I'm a jerk. But you know what? I'm going to heaven.
That's right.
Amen? I am a jerk. I'm not like a jerk like Dave. Dave's really a jerk.
Amen.
Wait.
I'm teasing. You all understand? Yeah. Brother, trust me. I've been reading the prose. Little B. Prophet Little Barry.
I'm one too, so.
You got the prophet status already? I didn't read.
I'm talking about.
Oh. Well, whatever. I don't know why they're so mad at me. I believe the book. I like the book. Listen to me. I love this book.
Amen.
Do I understand it all? No. Am I trying to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know what I love? I love this book. Doesn't it show?
Absolutely.
I love this book.
Amen.
You know, people ask me, what do you want? Well, I don't want anything from it. Do you ever have a plate passed under your nose?
Mm-hmm.
No. And you know what? You'll never have a plate passed under your nose. As long as I'm teaching. I want you to come because you love the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Amen.
Look at this. This is so fantastic. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's not talking about bringing them down from heaven. He's talking about bringing them back into heaven. He's not going to leave them. They're not going to be left in the grave. You know why? He is with able of his voice to shout out and get people out of the grave. Watch what happens. Verse 15. Well, 16. Well, 15 is fine. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Well, if they were in heaven, how could he prevent them? Hello? If they're already in heaven, how could you prevent them from getting to heaven? Class! Class! Did y'all hear me? How do you prevent someone who's already there? Muy poquito hard, right? Sue, would you agree with me? Is that hard? That's hard. Not one.
What about absent from the body, present with the Lord?
I'm going to get that to you in just a minute. That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the.
I'm okay with that, but it isn't in heaven yet. It's in the Lord. Where is the Lord? He's all over. He's everything that's everything. In fact, you know what he says in Colossians? By him all things consist. He's the energy that causes all this to happen. You got it? So, being in the Lord and being with the Lord isn't a requirement to be in a box somewhere. You got it? But we're going to get to that passage in just a minute. Because I think it's a fair, you know, fair, we need to deal with that. Verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend. Now I'm going to do this in sequential order. Here's the Lord coming down. Got it? Right there. This is the Lord coming down. Got it? That's sequence number one. Descending from heaven with a what?
Shout.
Shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And notice the colon. Notice the colon. What does the colon mean at all times?
Intention.
What you just said is true, but what's coming after?
Is more true.
Is more true than that. Now watch. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, hold it. If they're already in heaven, wouldn't they've already been risen? Huh? Yeah. So what gets them out of the grave?
The voice.
The shout and the voice of the archangel. That's voice activation. That's what gets them out of the grave. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now watch the sequence again. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. If we're caught up in the same cloud, how is that possible if they're already up here and we go up in a cloud? Amen. That's difficult to do. Sequentially. What? What?
You can't see
God. Oh.
You want to tease it.
Okay. You should have sat behind me like your wife does.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm not sure if my business.
Here, get a picture of him walking around there. Some Mennonite things don't ever change. Y'all understand what I'm saying so far?
Yeah.
Now watch. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Okay, it doesn't matter whether you're dead or alive, there's going to be a shout. We shall not all what? Sleep. But we shall all be what?
Changed.
Well, why would you put those sequentials together? Just like in 1 Thessalonians, sounds to me like they go up together. Mm-hmm. Now, the verse our brother was talking about in 2 Corinthians 5 is a big objection. Watch what happens here. It had nothing to do with actually being absent from the body. I want you to read to me what it says in verse 6. Now you got to read loud so they can hear you on the internet.
2 Corinthians 5:6, right?
Uh-huh.
Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord.
Keep reading verse 7.
For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord.
All right, what is the verse saying?
Right, I know. Yeah, like that we're not present with the Lord right now.
Yeah,
right.
That we're absent. We
right.
want that.
Yeah.
Our desires are that. Our hope is that.
Yeah.
It didn't say as soon as we get out of our bodies, we're going to be present with the Lord.
Right.
Now, I do believe you'll die in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe you're in heaven. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
I believe you're waiting for the voice activation, the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the what will happen? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's what I believe. That's the rapture. The one thing I don't believe in, multiple hopes. That's why I read the first thing. The one hope of your calling. How many hopes are there?
One.
There isn't little multiple raptures going on all the time. Never talks about it in that. Say, well, didn't Paul die in Acts 14 and go to the third heaven? I hear that argument. Well, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to try to deal with all the issues here. I'm working up a sweat. Look at this. Man, it's good. I know when I preach the right amount, when it's really wet down to the third button. I stop then.
Keep the fan blowing then.
Yeah, keep the fan
blowing. Oh, you guys wouldn't want to put up with that. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. This is Acts 14 where he gets stoned and left for dead. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up into the third heaven. Did he go to the third heaven?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know, do we? Did he know? Now, you can't make a defined statement out of that. Not an argument anyway. Why? Paul's telling you, I was there and I don't know. Well, if he doesn't know, how are you going to know? Bob, what do you know? Did he go to heaven or not?
I can't tell whether I was out of the body.
I mean, when you read the words, I mean, Paul's saying clearly, I cannot tell. Whether I was in a trance, he said I would come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. How do you then tell?
Can't be dogmatic.
You cannot be dogmatic. So that's a verse that you couldn't win an argument on. Why? Now, if Paul can't tell himself, bless God, you sure can't tell from his word.
I have to be honest with you. I didn't know what I believed on that, but the way you preempted it, I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to believe the other way.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking of verses that, you know,
you say no.
Counter that, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact is I believe that there's one catching out or one rapture for the church. It's going as a whole unit. It is a church, the body of Christ. It's one unit.
Mm.
It's not like separate units. There are some that have died, but when it's resurrected, will be resurrected in pure righteousness.
Hmm.
Do you all understand that we are the temple of God? Indwells the body of Christ as a collective group, the righteousness of God. One piece missing would mar His excellence. He's gonna bring it all together. That's what the rapture is all about, guys.
So embarrassing.
It is incredible.
Let me just throw one thing in there that I believe man is a tripartite being.
I do too.
A body, soul, and a spirit. And even Christ, when He died on the cross, said, Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. Is it possible that the spirit goes on in the body and the
soul?
Well,
the spirit of man Christ goes on.
And the body and the soul stay in the grave until the resurrection.
Yeah, well, the Spirit does, but the Spirit isn't the Holy Spirit in you. And that's in Ecclesiastes 12, and I'm going to actually get to that, because we are a triunion being. But this stuff gets starts getting deep.
Yeah.
What did you say, Steve?
Okay, I'm going to draw a diagram, but don't say you learned it from me, okay? This is what I do believe, though. This has nothing to do with the soul. It's a spirit. These people will be soulish bodies. And into the kingdom will be fleshly bodies, such as the Gentiles. There's flesh back here. And that will make up God in its entirety. And I bet I could prove it to you if I had time. Well, good. Once before, but I just barely touched on you. You guys were so young, I kind of quit. Stuff gets a little bit. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 for a minute. I'm not going to hit on this a lot because it gets so deep, so fast. There are so many verses, and it's not important to what I'm preaching on. But I just. This stuff is so incredible. I read this stuff and I'm like, you know, if I could find a place to preach every night, I would do it. Mm-hmm. This stuff is just so fantastic.
Buy yourself a house here.
And I'm like, huh?
Buy yourself a house here. You'd be here every night.
Okay, you buy the house and I'll come. Okay. No, I better be careful.
Yeah,
I'll check with you first. I know how to get in trouble really fast.
We can arrange that.
Carl, you got the idea. Teach everything.
Verse 44.
Where?
1 Corinthians 15. I'm sorry. And this is just a little thought here. 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a
spiritual body.
There's a natural body and there is a spirit body. Also, as it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, Christ, was made a quickening spirit. How be the first? That was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterwards, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earth, such are they also which are earthy. And they, and as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And we have borne the image of the earthy. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say, well, what's the image of the heavenly? Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Yes. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even subdue all things to himself. Well, guess what's going to happen at the rapture? We're going to become that quickening spirit. These people are going to have soul salvation, and they're going to be resurrected in soulish bodies, as in the souls under the altars, and all that will be Israel's thing, and the Gentile nations will be the fleshly part of it all. And it will make up at the end when finally the great white throne judgment after that will be a perfect man. That's what the redemption's all about. Thus the hopes for the body, hope for Israel, and the hope for the Gentiles are different hopes. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those books were written for Israel to prepare them for their hope. Romans through Philemon was written for the church, the body of Christ, for their hope. You don't rightly divide and you think there's one thing going on in this Bible, you're going to be confused. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake, confusion will set in.
And I was told I was confused.
Yeah. Well, you might be. You got the Bible straight, brother. I sometimes get confused going to the grocery store, but I ain't confused about the book. That is unbelievable. Now, the place where they think the rapture happens, go back to Matthew 24. Well, I've got a few texts. Let me see if I need to answer any of these. Amen from Leonard. Thank you, brother, for watching. Jerry Jones. How does verse 3 and 4 fit in? Verse 3 and 4 of what? Text me back. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't read your text in time. Sorry about that. I had a question. How does verse 3 and 4 fit in? I don't know which 3 and 4, but it must have been good. I'm like that old black man. How are you doing? He said, well, tell you the truth, I'm just about as good as I can get. And it still ain't good enough. I have no idea what you're talking about, so zap me in and I'll try to help you. Matthew 24. Fascinating study here. They say this is the rapture of the church. This is where it happens. I can tell you, most Baptists, did the Mennonites believe it happened here?
I don't know if they knew when it happened. You mean you're talking about verse 13?
You mean about Paul going up? I don't know. I'll have to look at it. We'll talk about it in a little bit. I'll have to go back and read 3 and 4. Thanks, Jerry. It's weird having people all over the nation. He's in Chattanooga. We've got one in Wisconsin watching. We got Wayne down in Pensacola. Phoenix covered.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, guys. Mm-hmm. This little class is growing. This little class of mine. It's going to... verse 21. And then shall great tribulation, such as one was not since the world, since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, I think I need to come up just a little bit. What?
Well, 40 is talking about them two should be in the field.
Yeah. Down 40. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I need to slide down just a little bit. Thank you. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Who was taken away in the flood? All the wicked, right? So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken. Who's taken? The wicked, the one in judgment. Huh?
It's the word death.
That's right. Those people are goners. You know? And they use these verses to try to prove or connect the thing. You got to understand, all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, their hope is a what?
Kingdom.
They were never planning to leave. And if you understand that basic doctrine of right division, Israel, prophecy, body, truth, mystery, you start to see that the Bible can't mean the same thing to everybody. You've got to get the right part. The hope for the church is the catching out. Not Matthew 24. They're going to be taken in wrath. He just gave the example of Noah. And those people were taken in the wrath. Go back to Galatians chapter 1. Not only that, the rapture, even though it's not mentioned in all, you know, just hundreds of passages, is mentioned like Galatians chapter 1. Something's buzzing again.
Just
a drawing. Sorry. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't want it to be somebody's pacemaker going out.
Sorry for the distraction.
Hey! Everybody shout out to Andy and Carrie.
Oh, hey!
Somehow, Andy, your text message or whatever you sent me, I lost. Don't ask me how. I'm not proficient. I needed Carlton to hang at my side. You know, Paul needed a doctor. I'm beyond a doctor. What I need is a technician. So, Carlton, you're the man, brother. That's how we call him around here. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 4. Look at this. Who gave himself for our sins, the gospel, that he might what? Deliver us from the present world. We're being lifted off the planet.
Amen.
Why?
Let's go.
Because our sins have been paid for.
Amen.
They're waiting for their sins to be done. Away at that. Zechariah. Two hopes. I mean, I literally could keep going another hour or two on the same subject and nail them all down. But let me just review. These people, some will be alive. These people all have to what? They have to die. These people put on skin. We're going to lose our skin.
Yeah.
Do you understand? These are going to meet the Lord when His feet land. I think you said His feet are going to land on Mount of Olives. That's exactly right. Coming back to earth, we meet the Lord in the air. Two different hopes.
No kidding.
There's nothing similar about them. Okay, so let's forget all our rightly dividing for a minute. It's gone. If there's only one gospel in this Bible, how do you explain all that? Just forget rightly dividing. Now, you never heard of the Word. You don't know about grace. You just start reading Matthew. What do you think? You would be absolutely confused. Well, the Bible said God's not the author of confusion. So who would be the author of confusion? And you know what?
Amen.
Listen, let me tell you what. God said, study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Then you have to find out where the rights to divide the Scriptures are. I mean, see. We got seven listening with... who is this? I don't know who. Oh, Mike. Mike, I appreciate you watching. Has seven joining us on Pile Talk. Everybody say hello to them.
Hello.
Hi.
So, seven on Pile Talk is watching through one person.
Amen.
Do you all understand that if we just take right division out, this wouldn't make any sense?
The world was for years.
And so they just, you know, the best way to keep from having to do any details that don't do any details and be vague and ambiguous. That way you're never going to be of any
danger,
you know. It's concepts. John 14. Don't let your heart trouble. You're going to heaven.
Yeah.
But then you start to read that these people's hope was never heaven in the first place. And then when you start to look at that resurrection, I'm not kidding you, I started looking at that resurrection of Lazarus. There's some weird things about that. You sit back and just think about that resurrection for just a little bit. It's appointed on men once to die. Did he die again? You can't tell, can you? I mean, that's weird when you think about it. And really, if you saw just a few people walking around the world that were 30 years old all the time, How many times have we come into friends and we saw them for a couple of years and we never saw them again? We think about them and we never see them. There's so much to this stuff, I can't even tell you. But when you sit down and you quit playing church, and you just become a Bible student, and you start thinking on your own, and you read the resurrection of Ezekiel 37, that's what it's all about, and you match that up with Lazarus, and you match it up with the land that they're going into, then you start reading Paul, and he's talking about taking the believers off the planet. You know what I mean? Sue's looking at me like, yeah, that would be weird. That's weird. Amen? You have to rightly divide. This part is a mystery program given to you and through the church, the body of Christ. Amen? Oh, Paul Nicholas is watching too. Hey, Paul, welcome. He's in East Tennessee. Paul, I haven't got a date yet, but I'm working on it. We'll love being with you. Would Thursday, Friday, and Saturday be good? Let me know. I'm going to go preach up at their church up there. He's invited me. I thought I would like to go. Are you providing the food? I just checked. I love this stuff.
Amen.
Oh,
man.
You know, there's no way that you can get this wrong if you believe this Bible.
Amen.
And listen, I'm not the perfect teacher. But I can tell you what, if it ain't this way, then show me how it all works as one.
Yeah.
If it ain't this way, then I want you to take the time to show me how you put the puzzle together. Because that's how I put the puzzle together, and it seems to work every time. I've been trying to put the puzzle together now for 27 years. The 24th of August, 1983 is when I got saved. It'll be 27. No, the next day after. Wednesday. Oh, it is? It's my brother's birthday. Well, then it's tomorrow for me. But you know, I gained eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. He said He's going to provide the food. You all understand the skin deal?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that some of us are going to be alive? We're not going to have to die to death? You know why? Huh?
It ties together very much that our bodies will be a body of skin, not flesh and bone, not flesh and blood.
Yeah.
Mm. But see, years ago, it'd be so confusing because one would be premillennialist, and then the all-millennialist, yeah. And then the post-millennialist.
I mean, yeah. But you know what I am? I'm a pre.
Pan-millennialist.
And why? Why am I a pre?
You're out living
life. No, come on. Romans chapter 5, verse 9.
Okay.
First,
Thessalonians
1, verse 10. First Thessalonians 5, verse 9. That's why I'm a premillennialist. Those three verses.
We shall be changed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 37 says it's the time of Jacob.
Yeah, that's another. I've got that marked. Absolutely. I mean, there's so much you could add to that. Ooh, absolutely.
I hear.
But all right, here we go. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. 1 Corinthians. First Thessalonians 1, verse 10. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. Those are the three reasons I'm a premillennialist. And the fact that Paul, in 13 books, never explains how to get through that tribulation.
Exactly. Amen.
Hello? And if you don't know how to get through that tribulation, you want to know the requirements? It's Matthew 25.
Barry,
yes.
Do you believe we're restraining the revelation of the Antichrist as a
yes,
church?
Yes, I do. But he says he doth already work. I mean, his mystery has been working for
him.
It does, absolutely. But we are restraining him at the moment.
So, the Jews that are alive today, they are in the grace dispensation.
Amen.
They are.
There's no Jew or Gentile.
Right? That's
so
true.
These Jews will not be in the kingdom.
Maybe. Maybe. Some of them will. They're already born.
Okay.
What is the requirement to be in the grace dispensation?
Trust the Lord. Death, burial, and resurrection.
No.
What is it?
What is the requirement of being in the grace dispensation? It's a time, but there's something more. You have to hear the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are some Jews, I have a chart.
Yeah.
There are some Jews living that will have never heard the gospel.
Right.
And could have rejected it. Because if they heard the gospel during this period of time and rejected it, what's going to happen? God's going to send them a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie in there. You got it? If y'all want to, Lord willing, next Monday I'll go over that chart. Because that's very important. There are Jews and Gentiles that have not heard the gospel.
Right.
If they hear the gospel and reject it, they're damned. If they hear it and receive it, they're saved.
Secured.
What?
Secured. They're saved and secured.
Secured. I thought you said they're killers. I'm like, really? You got it?
Sealed.
You got it?
Yes.
And so, if there's going to be some Jews saved in there, what do we know? There has to be some Jews over here that have not
heard.
That have not heard.
Otherwise,
right.
If everybody who's heard goes up, everybody who's rejected went down, the end of the world would be right there.
Okay.
Mm. There wouldn't be any reason to go any further.
Going to heaven.
What are we saved from?
Huh?
What wrath are we saved from if that's the end of the world?
Yeah,
well,
right.
No, but I'm saying there would have been a wrath. We would all been saved, and all the rest would be what?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
So basically the end.
There's
got to be some people that have not
heard
because they go in and they make up that nation of Israel that's going to be saved.
So another, exactly.
And the Gentiles that bless them.
So there's a possibility that the Gentiles that haven't heard.
Well, we screwed that up for the Mennonites. Now they can't.
Thanks to Facebook, we took care of a lot of that.
Wiped out that group.
See, they've been witnessing for you.
No, that's fine. But they got to get saved just like you get saved.
Yeah.
There's no advantage to the Jew now.
Right. He claims he's atheist, but he's not.
He keeps asking, what if there is a God? So you know he knows. One of the counselors from
here. Yeah. Let me tell you, guys, the more you can rightly divide, you know what happens? The more proof you got.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The more proof you got?
Yeah, that's right.
That is true. You know what it says in Timothy? That all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
I never got any persecution until I started rightly dividing. That's kind of weird.